This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. A while back, producer Dr. Lau Yau Hua spoke to Anthony Lynam of the Wildlife Conservation Society. Anthony has more than 20 years of experience implementing and advising wildlife conservation projects in Asia. And among other things, he helped conduct the first national surveys for tigers in Malaysia and Myanmar. He spoke to Yau Hua about his work in Myanmar in particular.
Anthony, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
I work for the Wildlife Conservation Society, which is a conservation organization that's based in the United States. And we have regional programs in Asia and Africa, Latin America and North America. And we have offices in many of the countries in Southeast Asia, including Malaysia and Myanmar.
And how have you been working in Myanmar, like conservation issues in Myanmar, for some time?
I've been working in Myanmar since 1998 and working very closely with the Forest Department.
So, and for those of us who are not so familiar with, say, the ecosystems in Myanmar, can you give us a brief description of the ecology and the environment in Myanmar?
Myanmar has a diverse range of ecosystems, ranging from coral reefs in the far south of the country up to alpine climates in the far north. And through the country, there is a range of climates and habitat types, ranging from tropical forests to dry forests to grasslands. So it's a very diverse country for ecosystems.
And how much of, you know, when I think for most of us, even in Southeast Asia, when we mention Myanmar, we picture, I think we still picture a very green, lush area, and relatively undeveloped compared to the rest of Southeast Asia. Is that true?
That's correct. Myanmar still retains a large proportion of its surface area, land surface area, as forest cover. And to a large extent, habitats are still intact. So we still have lush tropical rainforests in the south. There is still very good deciduous dipterocarp forest in the central part of Myanmar in the west, and there are alpine forests in the far west and the far north.
All right. Well, you describe it as quite, it sounds kind of pristine then. So what are, you know, why should we be concerned with, say, you know, what are the conservation issues in Myanmar then?
Over the last couple of years, we've seen very big changes in the political system in Myanmar, and with those changes, we expect over the next few years that there will be a big increase in the amount of development in the country. And with this development comes the risk of natural ecosystems and biodiversity being affected and impacted.
And so with the economy picking up, and I believe, you know, population growth will also follow very quickly, what are the, are we already seeing signs of, say, the effects of this economy development on the environment of Myanmar?
Yes, we're seeing in some parts of the country, we're seeing development that may lead towards unsustainable development. So, for example, in the far south, we're seeing that there is elevated levels of deforestation and conversion of forested land to agriculture, to plantations, and potentially that will impact fauna and flora. We're seeing that there's an increase in mining. There's also plans for doing exploration for gas and oil across the country, and with those plans comes the risk of this biodiversity being impacted.
So are forests the most fragile ecosystems in Myanmar subjected to economic development? So are forests the main concern?
Forests are one of the concerns, but another concern is the marine environment. And so there are extensive coral reefs in southern Myanmar, and those reefs have already been impacted by unsustainable fishing practices such as dynamite fishing and poison fishing and over-harvest. Mm-hmm.
What about roads then? Like roads, you know, leading, I guess, with development, logistics is always one of the first things to come about, right? And Myanmar, I think it has like at least five neighboring borders, right? It shares its borders with, I think, five or four countries. So are roads now a concern?
Roads will become a concern as plans develop for connecting the markets in Myanmar with markets in neighbour countries such as India and China and Thailand. So there are plans to develop the road network system, and as those roads become functional and become upgraded, we will see that there will be natural resources harvested and perhaps unsustainably harvested. There will be increasing levels of wildlife trade, increasing levels of harvest of timber and non-timber forest products.
So at the conference, I've already listened to two talks by local conservation groups. So can you tell us what's the history of conservation efforts in Myanmar? You know, how long has it been, and who are the main actors?
Okay, so the main actors, of course, are the Myanmar government. And very, very long ago, King Mindon set up a wildlife sanctuary in the 1800s for the preservation of wildlife. About 40 years ago, the first national park was gazetted for Myanmar, and since then protected areas have increased in number slowly, and now there's a coverage of the country of about 5% in protected areas, with the goal to double that amount over the next few years. So that's the official efforts that have been made to preserve nature and to conserve it. And along with the government efforts, there's been efforts by conservation organisations to help with doing research and to put together conservation plans for various different species. So in the early 2000s, Myanmar had its first national tiger action plan developed. That was a 10-year plan that has just come to the end of its term, and that is now due for being renewed. We hope that this year there will be discussions about setting up a national elephant conservation action plan using the model of Malaysia and taking that model and implementing it in Myanmar. So there are conservation organizations, both international and local conservation organizations, that are going to be engaged in conservation in the future.
So it sounds like the government really recognizes the importance of conserving biodiversity and ecosystems. But doesn't that put them, like, how do they reconcile that need for conservation with the definite need of the locals for, you know, progress, and with trade, you know, they're opening up the international trade. So what's the government doing, like, perhaps in terms of laws, like, to reconcile these two often conflicting directions?
So the government now has a Ministry of Environmental Conservation and Forestry, and under that ministry is a forest department, and the forest department has a nature and wildlife conservation division. So that is a unit that is managing the protected areas and responsible for conservation. So under that unit, there are maybe three or four dozen staff that are based in an office in Naypyidaw, and there are staff in parks across the country. But one of the critical limitations to doing conservation is the lack of trained staff. So there needs to be more recruitment done. There needs to be more government staff hired and trained to manage parks and also to protect those parks.
And so you mentioned the lack of expertise, perhaps local expertise. So where are we moving from here? Are there policies that promote or train Myanmar from young? Like, is it ingrained into their education system?
Not yet. And one of the things that needs to be done is to create awareness about conservation and the need for protecting biodiversity. And so conservation organisations such as the Bird and Nature Conservation Association that you heard about this morning have programs to create awareness in communities close to important bird colonies. There are other conservation organisations doing education in different sites. There's a conservation education program in the Hukong Valley to create awareness about the importance of conserving tigers and their prey. So education is very important, because in the school system there is a lack of training about the importance of environmental conservation.
Yeah, I think the lack of training in national education systems is a common problem throughout developing countries in terms of environmental awareness. So what about funding? Are most of the projects funded by the government, or are they shared with international sources?
So that's been one of the limitations over the last 15 years is the lack of funding and the lack of resources to be doing conservation. I think that's going to change over the next few years. There'll be more funding opportunities available in this sector, and hopefully international organisations and funding agencies will be putting more money into Myanmar. There's great opportunities and there's great progress that can be made, but the limitation really is the human manpower and resources.
So Myanmar is also home to a diverse, it's a very diverse society with many different ethnic groups. They have been living there for centuries, if not even much, much longer than that. So do the indigenous cultures clash with conservation efforts?
No, in some cases they actually have conservation ethics within those cultures. So, for example, the Karen have a very good system of managing their forests and managing their wildlands. They have their own forest department, and they're able to manage their wildlife. In different parts of the country, ethnic groups are already doing conservation. So it is already a part of their culture.
So if that's... that's good to know. And are then the international, the conservation groups, the local conservation groups and the government then making use of this indigenous knowledge and their already existing systems to conserve Myanmar's ecosystem?
So in the future, as Myanmar is becoming more integrated and people are working together more effectively, I think that these systems of local knowledge will start to be incorporated in the way conservation is done nationally.
Well, I'm also concerned about the many borders that Myanmar shares with her neighbours, and they are all very remote borders. And so, is monitoring of illegal activities a worry, a concern, and how is it being managed for?
That is an issue, especially when we're talking about wildlife trade. There are many official and unofficial crossings from Myanmar into neighbouring Thailand, into China and into India. And there is not government staff at all of those checkpoints. And so there is the likelihood that those points, those crossings, are functioning as wildlife trade routes. We know that is happening. So that is going to be one of the big issues over the next few years, is to try to come up with solutions and strategies for dealing with wildlife trade.
So at least half of Myanmar's neighbours, they are members of the ASEAN. So are there efforts within ASEAN itself to really protect the ecosystem of Indochina region?
There are efforts to enforce wildlife laws and to share information about wildlife trade, but there needs to be stepped-up efforts to engage Myanmar and to help Myanmar because of the lack of resources that they have. It means that there needs to be better enforcement along the country borders with their neighbouring countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last question would be, now that Myanmar is really entering, really stepping into the international stage in terms of politics, and people are beginning to be aware of it, I assume that ecotourism is going to come, which can often be good and bad. What's your take on this? Is Myanmar really developing its ecotourism? And
there is a lot of talk about developing ecotourism, and it's certainly one of the ways in which conservation can be mainstreamed, and there's potential for it to work. The problem is that the lessons in other parts of the region are not always positive. So we need to draw upon the lessons that are good lessons from neighbouring countries and be aware of the ways in which it has not worked in other countries. And one of the most important things is to ensure that ecotourism benefits local communities, so that if there is business or if there is engagement by the communities, that they participate in the business and the benefits.
And is that ongoing already? Like, you know, making sure, you know, efforts to make sure that the locals really benefit from ecotourism?
That is just starting to happen, but it's a whole new sector that is yet to be developed in the country.
All right, we look forward to positive news then. So before we end our conversation, is there anything that you would like to add in terms of, you know, conservation efforts in Myanmar or even in the larger Southeast Asia region?
I think that Myanmar is a great place to be thinking about doing research, to be doing conservation, and I would encourage people from other parts of the region, including Malaysia, to start becoming interested in what Myanmar is doing.
Okay, thanks a lot. And that was Dr. Anthony Lynam that we have they've just spoken on conservation efforts in Myanmar. Thank you.
That was Dr. Lau Yau Hua speaking to Anthony Lynam of the Wildlife Conservation Society. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.